Please join in as we praise our Heavenly Father together with Ancient of Days.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that you've joined us for worship this morning. And I trust that you'll be encouraged, that you'll be inspired, you'll be blessed, you'll be challenged, built up in the faith as you join unto the Lord in worship and through the ministry of the Word. So again, welcome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are. Yes, you're the Ancient of Days, but we're reminded this morning that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we take courage in that, comfort in that. And we pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts now and free us, that even though we're geographically separated, that we would be one in the Spirit and could share together in this worship service. May your anointing be upon every aspect of the service. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Just a couple of announcements here. Hopefully you have all had a chance to read your bulletin. If you have internet access, you should know by now that the bulletin is on the website, and you can read it there. Some of you get it mailed to you, and it should have gotten to your place in time so that you have it for this morning. But at any rate, do look at the bulletin and those announcements. There's a note of thanks in there. You'll want to make a note of that. But one of the things that is just around the corner is the Walk Your Block, which is the annual spring fundraiser for the Pregnancy Help Center. And we have a short promotional video that we're going to hopefully watch at this point, if the technology allows for that to happen. Now, those of you that are just listening on message share, you may hear or you may not hear some of it because there'll be some words on the screen, perhaps, that won't be said. But don't leave. We'll be right back after this message from our Pregnancy Help Center.
Hey guys, Carolyn and I are here, and we want to invite you to Pregnancy Health Center Walk Your Block for Life on May 2nd, and it's going to be an exciting time, and just want to share more about it. So,
during this time of isolation and social distancing, we are not going to meet together, but we are asking you to walk your block for life with us at 9 a.m. as we do this. As a group, we join our hearts, not our hands, and let's do something really great for our community and for those women who need us most. Family will be walking our block for life, and I'm very excited to invite you to join us by walking your block as well. Lastly, get your family, friends, and neighbors to sponsor you to walk your block. Every dollar you raise will aid the center to help vulnerable women in the Youngstown area. And as a bonus, you can earn a free t-shirt or fleece vest in the process. So please visit our website and sign up today. When you register as a walker on our website, you will be prompted to create your own fundraising page, and we take care of all the billing. On this page, you are able to customize your profile picture and information, and then send it out to all your friends and family digitally, so there's no need for person-to-person contact. We appreciate your support in all this, and I can't wait to see all of your selfies out there walking your block for life.
All right, the technology worked, and you need to know that Gareth Bear and Jim Cox are working behind the scenes in all of our services for sound and media, so be sure to thank them sometime, somehow, for all of that. All right, let's continue our service now through singing. Our first song is I Worship You, Almighty God. And that will lead right into How Great Thou Art.
I worship you.
Well, I wonder, how have you seen the greatness of God manifest this past week? How have you experienced His faithfulness? And what do you need to thank the Lord for? Let's not forget to praise Him as well as to bring our petitions before Him. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in You and just are so thankful for who You are and for all that You have done for us and that You continue to be with us in our circumstances and in our challenges and concerns and fears and joys. Lord, we thank you that you are with us. And we pray that you will continue to be at work and in our community, Lord. There are a lot of people that are suffering. There are a lot of people that have been afflicted with this virus. And we just ask that you'd be gracious to them and continue to work in their lives and their behalf, and be with the medical community and those nurses and doctors and staff that are on the front lines. Continue to bless them and to be with them. And we pray, Lord, that somehow you would intervene in this situation and bring, Lord, you are able. You brought plagues to naught in olden days, and we trust that you can do so in accordance with your plan and purpose in our day as well. But at any rate, help our faith to continue to flourish as we look to you, and may we be your disciples and your church in this time, in this place. And we just pray that you would especially be near to our shut-ins and help them, be gracious to them, and that you will be with those who are dealing with other kind of health concerns and issues right now, and perhaps feeling not only physical kind of distress, but some feeling emotional distress, or perhaps spiritual distress. And we just pray that you would be at work, and as people turn to you, that you would provide and bless abundantly and wonderfully. So we look to you and trust that you'll continue to work in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, before I preach, we have another song. He is Jehovah. If you have something at home there you can make a little noise with along with this one, that might be an appropriate thing to do. Well, for some time, I've been thinking about doing a sermon series on the Ten Commandments, and I almost jumped into it earlier this year, and then I thought, well, I'm going to wait until after Easter. So here we are. This direction for living was given to Moses on Mount Sinai thousands of years ago, but let's not think that this ancient word from the Lord is no longer relevant. Just because there has been an attempt by some to remove the Ten Commandments from the public sector does not mean that we can remove them from our consciousness or that we can ignore what was etched on those stone tablets. Now, if we didn't have these stay-at-home orders right now, I would have asked our drama team to introduce this series on the Ten Commandments this morning, and that would have been a neat thing to do. But given our current situation, let me read now Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, and then we'll go from there. So if you have a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. If you do not, and you're watching, it's on the screen, and you can read along. But at any rate, listen to the word of the Lord from Exodus 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to keep those who love me and keep my commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now, I wonder, how would you describe the Ten Commandments? What goes through your mind as you think of this passage of Scripture that I've just read? Do you see the Ten Commandments only as a bunch of do's and don'ts? Do you see them perhaps as something that keeping people from really enjoying life? Or do you see them as coming from a loving God who is providing his people with a framework for loving him and loving other people? We need to realize that God is always interested in our spiritual well-being, and it's never his intention to keep us from enjoying life, but rather that we might live life more abundantly. I find it interesting, David Siemens. Now, David was a long-term pastor, a Methodist pastor. He was a professor at Asbury Seminary, and in his he said this in regards to the Ten Commandments. As we sift through the Bible's moral guidelines, we'll discover that God, who knows us better than we know ourselves, has given us a remarkable plan for joyous living. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, having said that, let's take a look now at the first commandment. And I'll be doing one per Sunday here. So today, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. Perhaps it would be helpful for us to keep in mind who it was that was saying this. Who was giving this directive? I'm finding it interesting that during our current health crisis, there seems to be a question of who ultimately is in charge. Anyway, this past Monday, I happened to catch the press briefing that Governor DeWine was doing, and after his presentation and Dr. Atkins, a reporter asked the question. They wanted to know, who decides when things will be opened up again in Ohio? Is it the governor? Is it the doctor? Is it the president? Is it a group of people? And it was not just a question regarding the process, but it was a question regarding who's in charge. Who has ultimate authority? Now, it should have been perfectly clear that the one who was supreme, that had ultimate authority, was the one that was addressing folks when the Ten Commandments were given. Did they get it? And God said in verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So here you have a people that had experienced God at work. They had experienced his work when the plagues had come upon Egypt. They had experienced his powerful work of deliverance. This one that was speaking the Ten Commandments was the creator of the universe. He was the great I Am. He was the one that had invited people to come into relationship with him. What was God's intention when he said, you shall have no other gods before me? Well, God wanted the people to be unreservedly, unashamedly, unpretentiously his. God wanted his people to love him, to worship him, to follow him above all else. Now, during this time when so much of life is on hold, it might be a good time for us to reflect and to think about our relationship with the Lord. So to help us with this time of reflection, let me pose several questions this morning. The first one being, have you committed yourself totally to the one and only true and living God? Have you committed yourself totally to the one and only true and living God? This question is not, are we a religious people? It's not, are we interested in spiritual things? It's not, have we attended church services? It's not, do we believe in a higher power? The question is, have we come to know the Lord and committed ourselves to him through faith in Jesus, the resurrected Christ? And over the years, when teaching a class to persons newer to the faith, I've tried to point out the difference between knowing about someone and in actually knowing the individual. And so to illustrate that, I typically say, well, there was a time when I shook the hand of President Gerald Ford. So I knew about him. I even shook his hand. But does that mean that I really knew him? No, it does not. We never communicated. We never had coffee together. We never, you know, did anything that one does when one is in relationship with an individual and truly knows them. Now, the Apostle Paul gave this testimony in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Philippians 3, verses 7 to 10. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul realized that some of the things he used to put a lot of stock in had to go. Are there things in my life, are there things in your life that need to be looked at differently, that may be God's with a small G? Our goal should be to live in the power of the resurrection. Now, that leads us to a second question for reflection. Do you consistently seek the Lord, putting him first? Do you consistently seek the Lord, putting him first? In his book, God's Blueprint for Living, I read about an interesting and a thought-provoking ad that somebody placed in a Scottish newspaper. So, on the front page of this newspaper, a conspicuously placed notice asked the reader to look on the back page. When they turned to the back page, most people saw nothing. And it was only the person that looked really closely saw down in the bottom right-hand corner in real small print these words: "Is this where you are putting God?" So, sometimes people make a profession of faith, get baptized, become a member of a church, and as time goes on, life gets busy and challenging and sometimes downright complicated. What happens? Well, bit by bit, what should be on the center of the page in large, bold print somehow gets relegated to the bottom right-hand corner, where it's just there in fine print, barely noticeable anymore. Jesus, at one time as he was talking in parables or teaching in parables, he was talking about the parable of the sower and several different kinds of seed. And the one he was talking about falling on the ground where it fell among thorns. And Jesus explained that by saying, "The ones that fell among thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked by cares and riches and pleasures of life and do or bring no fruit to maturity." That's in Luke 8, verse 14. The point is that even good things can become bad things when they crowd out one's walk with the Lord. Even good things, get this now, even good things can become gods with a small g if they hinder one's spiritual growth and maturity and fruitfulness. So in Matthew chapter 6, we have Jesus speaking to his disciples. And there are two statements that he makes there that we need to hear in light of what I'm talking about this morning. In verse 24, he said, "No one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters, for either he will," what? "He'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." And then he said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Some translations may say money or riches or that kind of thing. Now, on down in the same chapter, in verse 33, is the other statement where he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things," meaning the things that are so often of concern to us, "you know, will be added to you." Now, both of these statements have to do with priorities. Does the Lord have his rightful place in our life? Is he on the throne of our hearts? Do we put him first? It really does seem to me that the Amish fellow from Holmes County, Ohio, when he was responding to the entire matter of the pandemic and the stay-at-home order, said, "This may be a good time for all of us to take inventory." Inventory. Not how many cans of soup are in the pantry, but inventory of our lives, you know. What does it look like? The first commandment says to not have any other gods. Why? So that we might follow the Lord above all else. Now that leads to the third question for reflection. And I'm asking myself these questions. Do you recognize and deal with that which may draw your heart away from full commitment to Christ? Do you recognize and deal with that which may be drawing your heart away from full commitment to Christ? Now, I had a flashback this past week as I was thinking about that, and I went back to the time when I was still in banking, and at this particular time, I was supervisor of what they call the Central Records Department there at Bank One in Coushocton, and I had an all-female staff, and so I overheard one day a young lady say something that really grabbed my attention. What she was doing was she was calling attention to, sort of showing off, or at least calling attention to a new outfit that she had on. And then she proceeded to say, "You know, I really like clothes. I love clothes. I adore clothes. I worship clothes." And this, I didn't say anything. I was listening from a distance or hearing from a distance, but it really struck me. And it stayed with me all this time. And, you know, I don't know what all she was meaning by what she was saying, but it does remind me of how easy it is for the human heart to become enamored with any number of things other than the Lord. The Bible tells us that some people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money and lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And I'd like you to notice this morning what is said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." Now, if you were to talk to someone, if you were to talk to some of my colleagues in ministry, and they would be sharing what is a disturbing trend that has been affecting their Sunday morning worship services, you would hear them talk about parents, and in some case, grandparents, taking their kids to sports activities instead of taking them to church where they are worshiping the Lord with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, are sports wrong? No, of course they're not. There's a lot of good things about it. Among them, physical exercise, learning to be more disciplined in a given area, learning sportsmanship, working at something, improving one's skills, and all of that. But as we've already noted, there is the possibility of even good things becoming gods with a small g. There is the possibility of ever so gradually becoming lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's what Paul was telling Timothy would be the case in the last days. Now, we need to be careful that we don't take our cues from a culture that increasingly rejects a Christian perspective and a biblical kind of worldview. If we do, we will become more like those described in this passage I just read: lovers of themselves, lovers of money, or lovers of pleasure more than or rather than lovers of God. What is our calling in life? Well, Jesus summed it up like this in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And he said, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, this coming week, I'd like to encourage you to do a couple things. A couple things to further reflect on these matters. First of all, why don't you read over the entire passage again that I read there at the beginning that contains the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. If you forget the exact reference, just look in the bulletin. It's printed in there. Think about how the Ten Commandments provide a framework whereby we might love God and whereby we might love our neighbor. And then secondly, think about the first commandment, which we focused on this morning: you shall have no other gods before me. Have you committed yourself totally to the one and only true and living God? Do you consistently seek the Lord, putting him first? Do you recognize and deal with that which may be drawing you away or tugging you away from full commitment to Christ? Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll look at the second commandment. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence, recognizing that you are God. None like you in all the world. We thank you that you've given us your word and that you do desire us to be experiencing a relationship with you and walking with you, loving you. We thank you, O God, that you first loved us and have called us unto yourself. Please forgive us of our failures, our shortcomings, the times when we have indeed been drawn away by other pursuits. And we thank you for your mercy and your grace once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, our song of response today is entitled "Knowing You." I think you'll see how it picks up on some of these very things that we've been talking about this morning.
Fill my life upon all this.
to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and evermore. Amen.